Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Abba Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV, Thursday, December 2nd, 2021. I am Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz yet again today. Craig Mish, he's tracking all the hot tips. He's calling his buddies in the Major League Baseball offices. He's getting us everything that we need to know about the impending lockout. George gave me the dour prediction that baseball is not going to return until May. So, George, this is a football show. This is a basketball show. We will let Major League Baseball figure out what they need to figure out in terms of getting a labor agreement put into place. But we got Thursday Night Football, a very big game in terms of the NFC playoff picture tonight. Alvin Kamara not going to be playing for the New Orleans Saints. We have our Thursday headlines here. Marcus Freeman set to become the next head coach for Notre Dame. I have to admit, not super familiar with him. He had been the defensive coordinator for Notre Dame, so good for him for getting a promotion. Giannis absolutely crushes last night against Charlotte, seals the game for Milwaukee, 70 fantasy points for him last night. Interesting, Marcus Stroman, before the lockout, signs a three-year deal with the Cubs. I actually love that signing. And the Dodgers bring back my guy, Chris Taylor, on a four-year deal. George, what leaps out to you from these headlines here?
Well, it's got to be Stroman, right? Not only because he signed, but because he signed late. And we didn't think anybody would be able to get a deal done late because you can't get the physical done before the lockout started last night. So that'd be the first thing. To make Kamara not playing tonight is not shocking, but surprising, because he did practice in a limited fashion Monday and Tuesday. And as you said, by the way, this is a big game for New Orleans. Yeah, I know they've lost four straight, but that's why it's a big game. They lose another one tonight. You can start making tea time plans because you're done.
Yeah, no, you are. You're definitely right. And that is not the only injury that the New Orleans Saints are going to be dealing with. Their left tackle, Ryan Ramczyk, is out. Their right tackle, Ryan Ramczyk, is out. And their left tackle, Terron Armstead, is out as well. So they are super banged up on offense. They got to be thanking their lucky stars that they traded for Mark Ingram when they did, because I think we saw the Tony Jones Jr., Ty Montgomery backfield did not look particularly productive against the Buffalo Bills. I am hoping with Taysom Hill starting here that the Saints find some life on offense. But by the way, Taysom Hill playing through injury as well. He suffered a concussion earlier this year, and you were talking about it yesterday when we were doing our waiver wire segment. But Taysom Hill is playing through a plantar fascia injury on his foot as well.
Yeah, that's if you haven't had that injury, and I've actually had it in both feet, it's a weird injury. All right, sometimes it feels fine, sometimes not so much. And it's one that takes a long time to heal. It's not going to take weeks to heal. It takes months upon months to heal. There's not really much they can do for it unless they go in and have surgery. It's a sheath in the bottom of your foot that's torn. You know, it's a weird injury. You are better off tearing it in half. And it's one of those injuries where you just get rid of it, then it's much better. If you tear it a little bit, then it's always that pain's always going to be there. So as Sean Payton said, it's a pain tolerance issue. They feel he's ready to go tonight. Should be interesting, but I mean, how much running can he do tonight? I mean, can he run 50, 60 yards? Is he going to be able to do that? Is he going to be able to handle that? We know he can't throw the football all that well. And even if he can, who's he throwing to? All right, they got nobody there to throw to. You don't have Kamara even to flip the ball out of the backfield to. Good luck tonight to the Saints. Like I said, you and I are Cowboy fans. If they manage to blow this game tonight and can't beat this team without their starting tackles, without Alvin Kamara, without Michael Thomas, without Jameis Winston, you know what? Then you don't deserve to go anywhere this year.
Yeah, it would. Well, George, you know, it would be the most embarrassing loss since they lost in overtime to the Las Vegas Raiders with Darren Waller injured in game on Thanksgiving. So not been a banner month for the Dallas Cowboys, to be certain. The Stroman signing, though, I think it's interesting because the Cubs don't even really have a good roster, and you would sort of think that signing Marcus Stroman is an indication that they want to contend a little bit. Their pitching last year was just god awful. I mean, the Kyle Hendricks regressing, their rotation this year, just lots of soft tossing guys in this lineup. Kyle Hendricks, Wade Miley, Alec Mills, all really soft tossers. Stroman, a soft tosser as well, but a big ground ball guy through the course of his career. And he did grind out a 3 ERA last year. Doesn't strike a ton of guys out. What are you thinking about the Stroman signing? And is pitching in Wrigley going to be good for his fantasy numbers, which my guess would be pitching in Wrigley will be good for him.
Generally, if people think Wrigley, they think, oh my God, the wind's blowing out. We're going to have 22, 23 games. No, not really. The wind generally blows in at Wrigley, which makes it more of a pitcher's ballpark when it does. Yes, if you check the wind that day is blowing out, yeah, get all your offensive players in and don't start your pitchers. Sure, that's the way it works there. But generally, the wind blows in more often than not there. Now, when I heard he first signed, I had the same thoughts as you. Why? All right, this is a team that seems to be in rebuilding mode, right? They traded Anthony Rizzo to the Yankees last year, Javier Baez to the Mets, Chris Bryant to the Giants. They didn't have anybody left, and we think they're going to trade Wilson Contreras at some point during the offseason. So they're sort of in rebuild mode. Are they just trying to placate their fans here? That sort of thing? This is really only a two-year deal. He can opt out at the 2 years, which I assume he will, so it's 2 years, $50 million more than anything else. And why would he want this kind of deal? Because generally, he was about the top three starting pitcher. Why didn't he sign for those five-year deals? Does he think he can make more money in 2 years? Do people not want him? So that is a little bit strange all the way around, Davis. But no, I would have not picked the Chicago Cubs to be the one signing Marcus Stroman, and I don't think they're contenders.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Well, we got plenty of time on the show, 2 hours today. Baseball, football, basketball. We are going to cover everything that you guys need to get your fantasy teams in order for every sport out there. So stay in tune, stay on the grid here on Fantasy Sports Today, and we will get into our show back in a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined, as always, in segment two here in hour one by our producer, Brett Levy. He's looking nice and sharp in the office today, so you guys will get a nice little look inside our Sports Grid offices there. And a great night in the NBA last night. I thought we had some pretty surprising results. And Brett, our fantasy standouts here, one of the most insane fantasy lines I have seen in so long, our NBA fantasy standouts last night, Rockets wing Jayshon Tate, 32 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 5 blocks. That is 70 fantasy points on FanDuel last night. Absolutely unbelievable. You absolutely had to have Tate to win any money last night. Certainly not something that that I anticipated. And he basically matched what Giannis did, 40 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists, 1 steal. LaMelo Ball on the other side of that game, 35 points, 5 rebounds, 9 assists, 3 steals, and 1 block. Trae Young had a huge game for the Hawks last night in their close win against the Pacers. 33 points, 8 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 steals. Joel Embiid dominated the glass last night. 13 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. A closely contested game there, a 1-point loss to the Boston Celtics. But this Jayshon Tate game, I mean, unbelievable from the Houston Rockets wing.
Yeah, great game. An undrafted guy, Davis. So I love rooting for these guys that truly had to grind it out and to get where they are. And look, Jayshon Tate's been a good player for the Rockets the last 2 years. He's been a quality starter for them. And Yeah, last night against the Oklahoma City Thunder was probably his best game as a pro, I would say, or an NBA player at least. So, great for Jason Tate, great game for him. And yeah, I think you said it pretty well, Davis. There was some good basketball last night. The Celtics Sixers game was close and exciting. Obviously, the Bucks and Hornets game was very exciting as well, with LaMelo and Giannis going back and forth. So, good night in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I was tuned in to, of course, the Tankathon game between the Rockets and Thunder. I was just waiting for the Thunder to lose that game. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander did his best. 26 shots for Shai last night. Got to the stripe 8 times, 39 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists for Shai last night. Quite the line there. I was thinking maybe our guy Alexei Pokusevsky would get some minutes for them last night. He ended up playing a little bit on the wing. I thought he might sneak in to their rotation with Josh Giddey out. Turns out they just need Josh Giddey to win, but we're going to answer some questions from Wednesday night. Kind of an embarrassing loss, I think, for the Miami Heat. Not that losing to the you know, not that losing to the Cavaliers is embarrassing as it once was. They are above 500. I saw this morning the Cavaliers are above 500 after 20 games for the first time without LeBron James since LeBron got drafted. So basically 20 years it's been kind of insane there. But Bam Adebayo out 4 to 6 weeks. Dwayne Dedman did his best last night, but do we fade the Heat without Bam for basically a month? And I'll toss it over to you, but my answer is yes. I mean, that was it was embarrassing, the effort. 85 points last night against the Cavs.
Yeah, it's been a rough go in their last two games for the Miami Heat, getting blown out by the Denver Nuggets on their home court and then losing last night to Cleveland. So I think, Davis, I think you're on to something. I think we should be fading the Miami Heat without Bam Adebayo. I do think he is a top-level big in the NBA, and obviously a huge loss for this rotation. And, you know, they don't have the greatest secondary big. Like, this isn't a really deep team, Davis, when we think
Yeah,
about
they
the
traded
Miami Heat.
Precious.
Exactly. So, you know, they lack some depth. So, this will be a big loss, I think.
Yeah. All right. Our next question here, and I think at the beginning of the season, this market is still fairly exploitable. So we have, will Cole Anthony win most improved player for the Orlando Magic? He was phenomenal again last night, 24, 8, and 7. My favorite for this award right now, I think, would be Miles Bridges. There's Mikal Bridges and Miles Bridges, and I kind of get them mixed up, but the Charlotte Hornets Bridges, Miles Bridges is the one that I think would be the favorite for this award right now. But I do think you are correct in putting this on a rundown. I think Cole Anthony could be considered one of the guys eligible for this award.
He's certainly the one I'd bet on in the market. You know, he is not considered a favorite right now, and he's been playing phenomenal for the Orlando Magic. You mentioned Miles Bridges, obviously a guy who I am rooting for very hard as well, because I worked with Miles for a year, and Jay Hernandez, a great coach and a good friend of mine. So, look, Miles would be a great choice, but Cole Anthony's doing everything for Orlando. He's shooting the three well, getting all the other players involved, averaging north of 5 assists, Davis. So, look, if you're averaging 20 points, 6 assists, 6 rebounds, like, there's no reason you're not going to win the most improved player. And Cole's played really well. He's missed a few games, though. So I guess, you know, if you want to take your reasoning why he's not going to win, he's missed a few games, and that's been a problem throughout his career, even dating back to North Carolina.
Yeah, I love Cole Anthony. Just like aesthetically, he looks really cool playing basketball. So I love when guys that look cool playing basketball get good results. That's basketball is one of those sports where I don't know, kind of the way you do things is just as important as how effective they are, at least for me as a fan. And then our final question here, and this one, again, we got a fascinating one here. Will Kevin Love finish the season in Cleveland? Because right now he's kind of playing, he's both their backup center and their backup power forward, and there are enough minutes for him there. You know, you can get to because Mobley and Jared Allen don't need to be in there a ton. Like, Kevin Love is getting his minutes, he is getting his shots, and I don't know if they have deployed this at all yet. Have they done the super big lineup with those three guys yet where Kevin Love plays small forward? Because I'm just – if the team was bad, if this was like a 27-win team, I guarantee we would be seeing that lineup. But what do you think? Do you think Kevin Love will finish the season in Cleveland?
I'm not really sure, Davis. I think he's a good trade candidate, and I also think, you know, when I think of their super big lineup, they play Markkanen at the three, and he was, you know, coming out of college in Arizona, he was thought to be a 4-5, stretch 4-5, so they definitely play some version of a super big lineup. I don't know exactly if it's the one you were looking for, but I think, you know, we're at a time in the NBA where, you know, we start picking up these trade rumors and whatever. We've seen Kemba Walker and John Wall being discussed this week. Kevin Love has a good night last night, and I think he can still contribute in this league. He's obviously not the player he was when he signed that, you know, $30 million a year deal, but Kevin Love's going to help a contender down the stretch, I think. So I don't think he finishes the season in Cleveland. I think Cleveland goes into full rebuild mode, but they're playing well now. So, you know, I guess they could surprise me, Davis, and be buyers at the deadline if they wanted to be.
Well, I mean, look, they could do both, right? They could both be buying someone on a more reasonable contract and also, you know, move on from Kevin Love, because Kevin Love is 33 years old. He clearly is still a useful NBA player. He can sit in the corner and shoot threes. He's always been a good rebounder. The problem with Kevin Love is that he grew up from probably like 8 years old, and he's like, I'm a power forward. That's what I do. I play in the corner. And the way the NBA works now, he's got to be a center. If you were going to move the way Kevin Love moves, you have to be a center, because he can't switch and he can't move around on defense. So I was looking at his contract and I was thinking maybe he'd be available for a buyout, but he's owed about $45 million more dollars. So probably the Cavaliers are not going to want to buy that deal out. But that is our look at the NBA last night. Of course, we will return to the NBA a little bit later on in the show. And then George is going to rejoin us, and we're going to take a look at FanDuel Thursday Night Football. See you guys back with that in just a moment.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. Just went over some NBA stuff from last night with Brett Levy. You can go back and watch that on demand, or you can follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. You're going to get highlights from this show, including maybe a little bit of what you just watched, maybe a little bit of what is about to come. You're going to get all of the injury news that you need to set your fantasy football lineups, to set your fantasy basketball lineups, to keep track of everything going on with the labor discussions in Major League Baseball. Craig Mish will be on there. I'll be on there. Everything that we have on the network is clipped up nice for you guys on social media. So give us a follow at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. And George, fantasy football playoffs are either here or about to be here for most of us. I know in some of my leagues, it's already begun. This is the first week. In some of my other leagues, this is the last week of the regular season. So I thought that we should take a look at some of the backfields that actually could still change. You know, a lot of the backfields, we basically know what is going to happen, but you know, and unless an injury happens. But I do feel that there are some situations that we could get an answer on this week, and that'll help us make some decisions with our rosters come playoff time. So let's take a look at the NFL Week 13 backfield watch. We have the Miami Dolphins with the newly signed Philip Lindsay. He came in and got 10 carries last week. We talked a little bit about this on the show yesterday, but basically the coaching staff said they kind of wanted to see a little bit more of Lindsay this week. Gaskin has been really inefficient as a runner for them. Do you think that we might see a little bit more Philip Lindsay this week? And Miles Gaskin is not going to be a locked-in fantasy starter the way he's been for the last month of the season.
Yeah, I certainly think we'll see more of Philip Lindsay. I think it's going to be, the question is your definition of more. Is it going to be a third of the load, half the load. I don't see anything more than half, but I don't even know if he's going to get anywhere near close to that, but he's going to play more. I don't think I have much doubt about that. They're playing with Giants team, a Giants team that maybe without Daniel Jones. It is a big game for Miami, right? I don't think they can make the playoffs, but they're not out of it yet. And the schedule does bowl down for them where, you know, it's not an impossibility. They're 5-7, win here, you're 6-7. It is a quagmire in the AFC. Seems like teams, no one can put together a 2-3 game winning streak here. So it's a big game. They're going to do what's best for them. And Lindsey's has some play. It's not like this guy's a nobody here. Mike, the question always is with the running back. We all know he's a running back. You catch the ball to the backfield. You run little routes. Get the handoff, hit the hole. We know that. But on third down, can you pick up the blitz? That's going to be the question for Lindsey in my mind about how much he plays. If he's well-versed in that, he knows the system, he can pick up the blitz and not get Tua killed, he'll play or he'll play more. If he's not ready and you know what, he can't pick up the blitz or he's just not good at it or he hasn't gotten it down yet, then he's not going to play, especially on passing down. So I have to keep in the guys who know who can pick up the blitz there. That's always the key for running backs, whether they're rookie running backs or when they go to a new team. It's blitz pick up more than anything else.
Yeah, you are right. The blitz pickup is going to be big. And the thing that would be the coffin for Gaskin losing the passing downs would be big, but he sustained so much of his value with these short yardage touchdowns. If he loses any of that to Lindsey, it's going to be pretty, pretty crucial for him. All right. Didn't think we'd be talking about the New York Jets here in week 13, but with Michael Carter removed from their running back rotation, Tevin Coleman played a good bit last week. Ty Johnson had actually been, weirdly enough, a fantasy starter because he'd been getting so many targets. Now, obviously, the removal of Mike White and Joe Flacco removed some of those targets from Ty Johnson. And I mentioned on the show yesterday that Austin Walter was on the IR. I was wrong about that. He's on the practice squad. And so it's kind of one of those Jordan Howard situations where he went back down to the practice squad and they're going to re-elevate him. So this week for the Jets against the Eagles, what do we think happens between Austin Walter, Ty Johnson, and Tevin Coleman? Because I actually do think you could start Tevin or Ty Johnson if Walter was back on the practice squad. But this role that he has right now, basically it makes all three of them kind of brutal.
It's frustrating. Right, it's frustrating is what it is because you're sort of playing the guessing game here. We can live with two. Most teams have two running backs. There are very few teams that go at one. You know, so we can live with two. You know, I probably edge towards the goal line guy if we can figure that out. But when you throw that third guy in there, now it's a mess. It's just a mess because are they going to go with the hot hand? You know, then who's the goal line guy? How are you judging this down? Who's going to catch the ball in the backfield here? I agree with you. I don't want Walter anywhere near the situation. If Walter's not there, it comes down to, okay, I would probably prefer Ty over Tevin close. I mean, you can make an argument the other way, and I wouldn't debate you at all. I'm fine with Guy. But if Walter is going to be activated, I'm probably going to go someplace else. I'm not going to deal with this. I just don't like giving myself a headache over trying to figure out which one of three guys is going to be it, especially when they're up against a decent Eagles defensive line. And running the ball may not be conducive anyway. You may need the touchdown deodorant here no matter what happens, or the guy that we think is going to catch four or five balls out of the backfield in PPR.
Yeah. All right. Again, I can't believe we're here, but the Houston Texans are down to just two guys. Last week was the first time that only two running backs got touches for the Houston Texans. They cut Phillip Lindsay. Scotty Phillips is on the IR, and they didn't give Royce Freeman any offensive touches, only on special teams. And David Johnson was apparently not at practice on Wednesday with a non-COVID-related illness. Rex Burkhead played 61% of the snaps last week, 12 carries, 3 targets. Do we dare start Rex Burkhead in fantasy against the Indianapolis Colts? What do we think, George?
Well, I'm looking at our team right now, a team that I have Kamara on. Now, this is a deeper league, by the way. It's one of those leagues where there is an extra flex. I have to start him. I have no choice. I have to start somebody else in a flex. That's how bad this team is getting wrecked with injuries. So I'm looking further than Burkhead. He's already automatically in my lineup. And I got to go further down this list. So, yeah, I think he is in play here. Once again, what are we hoping for here? You need the touchdown. I don't see either one of these guys getting double digits without a touchdown. You know, so we're scraping the bottom of the barrel here. And Burkhead, he can do damage at times. He can. Johnson really hasn't done anything really this season. So, yeah, I'm okay with Burkhead. It's a desperation move. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He's not going to win me this week. I know it. It's against a tough Indianapolis defensive line. The way you beat Indianapolis is through the air. not run the run game there. I don't expect much from him. But sure, I had to start him in a league, so misery loves company. Go ahead, go out and grab him.
Yeah. All right, the Detroit Lions, all season long, they basically did a split between DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams got hurt, and DeAndre Swift was playing, you know, every down, like 80, 85% of the snaps. We did see Godwin Igwebuke and Jamar Jefferson each score a touchdown when Jamal Williams was out. But my thinking, George, is that Jamal Williams is not DeAndre Swift. Just not that caliber of player, not a guy who is going to demand 25 touches a game. And that's kind of how the market is treating him right now. But do we think there's a chance that Jamar Jefferson or Godwin Igwebuke can actually kind of carve out a role that is actually fantasy relevant, you know, playing on third downs? I kind of think Jamar Jefferson can. He caught a lot of passes in college at Oregon State. Igwebuke, I don't know how he ended up being a running back because he played safety in college, so I don't think he's going to be particularly good blocking on third downs or anything like that. But I've spent a couple fab dollars this week on Jamar Jefferson.
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree. Jefferson's the guy I want here. I think he can somewhat help you here. My only question is this. I don't expect Detroit to be throwing the ball up and down the field, but the way you beat Minnesota is to attack that secondary. Right? You have to beat them through the air there. I know San Fran ran the ball successfully last week, but that's San Fran. They run the ball against everybody. It just doesn't matter. I don't see Detroit having that kind of success. And I agree with you about Jamal Williams. I like Jamal Williams. Of course, he's out there. You're grabbing him. There's no doubt about that. But he's your lunch pail guy, your lunchbox. That's what he is. He's not dynamic. You know, he's not someone like that, but he's a good, solid running back. But Jefferson's going to get some play here. I fully believe that. They're not going to run Jamal Williams 22, 25 times. And I think they are going to run a bunch, probably more than they should. And the Minnesota Vikings defensive line is beat up. I think they just saw they got Dalvin Tomlinson back today. So good for them. But yeah, I'm on board with Jefferson here. He might be my favorite out of all the guys we've talked about.
Yeah. And then kind of a weird situation for the Baltimore Ravens. Latavius Murray starts the year behind Tyson Williams, then overtakes Tyson Williams, and it kind of culminates with his game against Denver in week 4, 18 carries, 59 yards, and a touchdown. And Latavius Murray does actually have 4 rushing touchdowns this year, then comes back from injury, plays 37% and 44% of the team snaps. Devonta Freeman is playing more of the passing downs, but I'm wondering if with upcoming games against Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Green Bay, if Baltimore kind of gets back to their roots, we see more of them, you know, trying to really run the ball, 35, 40 rushing attempts per game. Do we kind of see this flip back and we actually see Latavius have the more fantasy valuable role in this offense?
I think they should. You know, I don't know if they're going to do it. Now I have Freeman in a league or two. All right. So I don't want them to. And he's been great with the touchdowns. But Latavius Murray seems to have more burst, right? The better running back at this point in their careers, but they seem to like Freeman for whatever reason. You know, is it because he's better at blocking? Is it because he's better picking up the blitz? I can't see him being better out of the backfield as far as catching passes or anything like that. Does it matter this week? They're playing Pittsburgh. Tough defensive line there. You know, once again, you probably need touchdown deodorant there as well here. So I think it should be Latavius Murray, but I don't know if Harbaugh agrees with me. Like I said, he seems to like Freeman a lot. And this is not to say that Murray is, by the way, leaps and bounds over Freeman. I'm not saying that. I'm just surprised that when you look at the game, you look at the tape, it does look like Murray has the bigger burst here. But for some reason, Freeman's gotten longer play. So I think the 50-50 gamble here. I think Freeman has the better chance for a touchdown, but I think Murray's might touch the ball more.
Yeah, I think you are probably right. And the deal with Freeman is you can start Freeman – hope he gets 4 receptions, start Latavius, you hope he falls in for a touchdown. It's kind of a bummer that that's where we're at with the Ravens backfield. You know, they suffered so many injuries, and for whatever reason, they decided that they don't want to play Tyson Williams. But there is a comprehensive look at some of the backfields that are still in flux in week 13. Feels crazy, but they are. We're going to discuss Thursday Night Football on FanDuel when we get back. Just a moment. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. We have a very interesting game tonight in the NFL. Very big game for both of the teams playing, the New Orleans Saints against the Dallas Cowboys. Alvin Kamara not going to be playing, already declared out for the New Orleans Saints. The Cowboys are 6.5-point favorites on the road on the FanDuel Sportsbook, minus 280 on the money line, a total only of 46.5. For this game, what really makes me miss the old NFL, the 2020 Cowboys versus the Drew Brees Saints, this total would have been 55.5. We would have had Michael Thomas going off, Alvin Kamara. Just what a bummer that this is going to be Taysom Hill running the ball, Ezekiel Elliott with his wonky knee. George, before we get into the FanDuel Thursday night football prices, just kind of what are your expectations for how this game is going to go?
You want me to tell you how I think the Cowboys are going to play? Good luck. Good luck. I don't know. I mean, listen, we've already talked about it. The Saints are a beat-up team. No Winston, no Thomas, no Kamara, no right tackle, no left tackle. And this should be a nightmare for the Saints. I don't care if it's in New Orleans. It should be a complete nightmare for the Saints. But do the Cowboys take advantage of it? You pointed out earlier. Cowboys lost to the Raiders without Darren Waller for most of the game. How does that happen? All right, how does that happen? I don't know. I don't know how well Dak's going to play tonight, how consistent he's going to be. All I know is the Cowboys, they're about as healthy as they're going to get. Right? DeMarcus Lawrence, back tonight. CeeDee Lamb, back tonight. Amari Cooper, back tonight. All right. Tyron Smith came back last week. They'll get back Randy Gregory next week. So they're about as healthy as they're going to get, and they need to start winning football games. Because if they lose tonight, they're going to hear it. Problem is, last two games against New Orleans, which is basically the same defense, they put up 13 points and 10 points. That's not getting it done. Even without those guys I mentioned from New Orleans, that's not going to win this game. So Dak has to show up. He has to show up and play well tonight. I don't think he needs to score 30 to win this game, but he needs to have an offense that's consistent. I mean, that's defense get a turnover or two here. I do think the Cowboys win the game. I can't see how they don't. Originally, if you would have asked me this on Tuesday, Davis, I would have said, I think the Saints cover. Now I'm not so sure. There's just not much there for the Saints. I mean, I'll ask you, if everything goes well for the Saints, how many points can they score? 21, 24, maybe?
Yeah, it would have to be something like that. You know, basically, Taysom Hill would have to pretty much play perfectly. No turnovers, no fumbles. They would have to be really efficient running the ball. You know, I think we're going to see lots of Mark Ingram tonight, obviously, but I think, you know, even Tony Jones and Ty Montgomery are going to get in the mix for the New Orleans Saints. And yeah, it would honestly have to kind of play out like that Denver Broncos game did, where the Cowboys defense just could not get off the field against Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams. Those guys just punish the Cowboys defense. And that is, you know, kind of one thing that we know about football that's hard to articulate before a game starts, is that when defenses get tired, their performances do tend to get worse. So if a drive has gone on for 10 plays, it's probably going to go on for 12 plays. It's probably going to go on for 14 plays. And that is definitely the type of offense that the Saints are going to try and play. And that is how they've been effective this year. The games that the Saints have won, they've run the ball very efficiently. Now, granted, when they were winning all those games, they did have Alvin Kamara running the ball. That's a pretty big the difference between Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram is it's a fairly large difference in terms of what they add on any given play. But I think that the Cowboys should be huge favorites here. I do think the Cowboys are going to win. I think it's very bullish that they have Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb healthy in the same game for the first time since that Denver Broncos loss. You know, that is huge for them because so much of Kellen Moore's offense is predicated on those guys getting open in one-on-one coverage. So that is that's pretty nice. And you know, it'll be interesting to try and figure out what to do tonight on FanDuel for Thursday Night Football single game DFS, because Taysom Hill is priced at only 7,000. He is the second highest projected scorer of the entire slate. We have him projected for 19 FanDuel points at only 7,000. Basically, if you play $7,000 Taysom Hill, and you can play whoever you want, right? You can get your Dak Prescott's in, you can get your Ezekiel Elliott's in, your CeeDee Lamb's, just the way the prices work. So, I mean, I think Taysom Hill will be like 90% owned, 95% owned in these contests. You know, so kind of my thought would be the way to leverage that is to actually use him in the MVP slot. Because I think people just kind of have a hard time clicking on the cheaper guys in that MVP, in that captain slot. But who do you expect to be the big scorers here for the Cowboys offense, George?
Well, listen, I don't care how much Jerry Jones was saying all week that Ezekiel Elliott's going to handle a full load. There's two problems. That knee injury did not get significantly better over the past 7 days, right? It's still banged up. It's not going to heal. Maybe when the Cowboys have a couple of extra days break before they play Washington next week, maybe then the knee feels a little bit better. Pollard has the better burst. He's not as big as Elliott. Doesn't have the doesn't run as violently as Elliott, but he has the better burst. So I think Elliott is going to be a touchdown guy. We saw that last week, right? Pollard had a great series. As soon as they got down to the 1 yard line, Zeke comes in and runs it in. You know, vultures the touchdown there. But I also think the New Orleans defense is good. The defensive line is good. I think they'll control the run game. That's the bottom line. I think they'll control the run game. Question is, Marshawn Lattimore, who I do think is wilting a little bit as the season goes along here, is he going to travel with Cooper? Is he going to travel with Lamb? Is he just going to stay on his side, take whoever comes there? I assume that's what he would do. Lamb and Cooper are both very good, so I think he'll just stay there and take whichever guy there. This is assuming that Lamb plays on the outside. He may play in the slot and let Gallup go on the outside because no Cedric Wilson today. I kind of like Lamb in this game. I think that's the guy I'm going to watch here. I can see Gallup playing a smaller role as well. I don't think Cooper does much here. Coming back from the couple of weeks off, he still kind of has the symptoms. All right, Monday, it didn't look like he was going to play. He's coughing here. He's still got COVID. All of a sudden, magically, he's healthy 24, 36 hours later. All right, we'll see. And I think Cooper's also a guy, you know, when he's 100% healthy and wants to go, he's dynamic. But there's a lot of games where he just doesn't show up. And I think tonight's going to be that kind of game. Yeah, where he'll make a play here and there, but won't be dynamic here. Lamb's the guy I want, and I can also see Dallas once again work in the middle of the field with Schultz. You know, I think Dak likes to throw the ball to him, and once he gets going with Schultz, he keeps going back to him. So I think Lamb and Schultz are my guys here that I would, if I'm going to key on a Dallas passing game. And I agree with you about Taysom Hill. You're going to have to start him. Everybody else is starting him for that price. You don't have a choice here, and I'd put him in my MVP slot as well. I think he'll, even in a bad game, because he can run, I do expect him to run tonight. I don't think Peyton puts him in there if he can't run. Right. He's got a high floor. He's got a high. Just throw me one touchdown pass, and you're probably going to get 20-plus points.
All right, another very key question when it comes to our beloved Dallas Cowboys. On the weekend, Mike McCarthy says, yeah, we got to start looking at limiting Zeke's workload, right? He's dealing with this knee injury. He's feeling banged up. I mean, he only has 18 carries the last two games. He's got 9 carries in each of the Cowboys' last two games. And I think any reasonable person could look at Zeke and be like, yeah, I mean, he looks slow. He looks like he's in pain. He looks like he's dealing with a knee injury. And Mike McCarthy, a reasonable person, basically tells the Dallas Cowboys media what all of us already know, which is that Zeke is banged up. He's dealing with this knee injury. He is not playing 100%. So he says, all right, we got to start to loosen his workload, you know, change his usage up a little bit. Then Jerry Jones goes on the radio and says, Ezekiel Elliott's fine. He's 100%. He's going to get a serious load on only 6 days rest against the New Orleans Saints after that overtime loss to the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, Mike McCarthy not coaching this game. He is on the COVID list for coaches, I suppose. Dan Quinn is going to be coaching this game with Kellen Moore calling the plays, as always, on offense. So, Tony Pollard, more of a workload, same workload. You know, Moore is a rusher, Moore is a receiver. What do we see happening with the two Cowboys running backs in this game?
I think I see something similar to what we've seen. I think, once again, I don't expect Zeke to carry that kind of workload. He is banged up, and he's slower than Pollard. Has a bigger burst. You can see it every time he catches the football. He has a bigger burst. He's not as big as Elliott. He doesn't run as violently as Elliott. He won't wear down his defense as much as Elliott could, but he's healthy, and he's playing well. You know, if I'm the Cowboys, I would have sat Zeke Elliott today. I would have. It's once again, you get another 3 extra days rest because they played last Thursday night. Could have given 2.5 weeks off before the Washington game. And that's what I would have done here. Get him healthy for the stretch run. And let's face it, as soon as that Washington game comes, you start that streak of divisional games, right? Two against Washington, one against Philly, one against the Giants. They have an Arizona game thrown in there. Those games are important, especially now with Washington playing so well. You need to win at least one of those Washington games. That's what I would have done here. I don't, especially against a banged up New Orleans team. Like I said, no Winston. No Thomas, no left tackle, no right tackle, no Kamara. You're telling me you can't beat this team without Zeke? Really? Look at his numbers. The only thing Zeke is really doing well right now, he is a very good blocker and he picks up the blitz very well. Pollard is not as good at that. And I have no doubt in my mind that if Zeke wasn't in there, yeah, you'd see more blitzes coming from New Orleans. No doubt. But other than that, everything else points Pollard's way here. I'd want Zeke healthy for the rest of the season. I thought the Cowboys made a major mistake during the offseason when they played salary cap games and they extended Zeke. Well, now you can't get rid of him next year without a huge cap hit. I think this should have been Zeke's last year with the team. That's how I would have approached it. Jerry Jones didn't. Short-sighted thinking there. I would have held him out tonight, but I think Jerry Jones is like, I'm paying you, you're playing. That's what it sounded like to me, Davis. I'm paying you, get your butt in there.
Yeah, no, I think you are 100% right, George. I think so much of the Ezekiel Elliott usage inside of the Cowboys offense is basically Jerry, you know, sitting down with Mike McCarthy, sitting down with Kellen Moore and saying, I don't care what you guys think Tony Pollard can do. I don't care how good Dak is. I don't care how good CeeDee is. I don't care how healthy or not healthy Amari Cooper is. I want Zeke to get the ball. You know, run the dang ball, right? That is the organizational edict. And to be fair to Mr. Jones, the Cowboys have been far better running the ball this year than they have been any of the last three seasons. You know, basically ever since. Zeke was incredible as a rookie, and he basically got worse every single year. And until the last two games, the Cowboys have been very good running the ball, to be fair to Jerry Jones. So let's go ahead and go back to our FanDuel discussion here. Thursday Night Football, my MVP selection. It's actually for the reasons we just talked about, George. We're a little bit worried about Amari Cooper's health. Well, everyone's a little bit worried about Amari Cooper's health. You know, everyone knows that he is banged up. But Cooper, look, I love CeeDee Lamb. We all love CeeDee Lamb. The market loves CeeDee Lamb. But Cooper actually has been, when fully healthy, the more efficient wide receiver for the team this year. Had the huge game against the Buccaneers in week one, had the huge game against Minnesota in week eight, didn't do anything against Denver, and that was CeeDee's best game of the season. But I think, you know, 3-4% ownership or something like that in the MVP for Amari Cooper, I am all over that tonight. Who do you have in MVP?
Yeah, I think, listen, if you go with FanDuel MVP, Dak cost too much, so I probably wouldn't have gone that direction, but I picked Dak. I think, once again, Dallas needs him to play well. They don't win when he doesn't play well, right? The running game is probably not going to be good enough tonight for them to win without Dak playing well. This is a team that relies on the pass. The offensive line needs to play better as well in the run game, and they haven't done that. And I don't think they're going to be able to do it tonight. I don't think the run game is going to be a big part tonight because I think New Orleans will control that. Their defensive line is that good. It's going to come down to Dak. I would probably go CeeDee Lamb over Amari Cooper, even though everything you said is true. And Dak likes throwing to Cooper. Dak is better when Cooper's there and playing well. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I'll pick Lamb. I just think he's the more dynamic player. And I'm just not so sure if Cooper can play his full allotment of snaps tonight.
Yep. All right, there we go. That is a comprehensive discussion on how to approach single game contest tonight on FanDuel. Stay tuned as we are about to end hour one and get into hour two of the show. See you guys back in just a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, you know, everyone in the state of New York right now has a sore hamstring, George. Corey Davis, not practicing. Kadarius Toney, not practicing. Sterling Shepard, not practicing. Evan Ingram, always banged up. I think, thankfully, somehow Elijah Moore is practicing for the New York Jets. We'd be in real trouble if the greater New York, New Jersey area lost, Elijah Moore. So I have a controversial question for you, and maybe we'll never get this answer. Who makes a conference championship next, the New York Jets or the New York Giants? So AFC conference championship for the Jets, NFC conference championship for the Giants. Who makes that that promised land next?
God, you went one step above. You could have just asked who wins the division next, and I don't know if I would have had an answer for you. more or less the conference championship. Oh, God. I can't see it being the Jets because you got Buffalo in that division, and they're not going away. And New England, by the way, they may be back now that they got Mac Jones. So I can't see it being the Jets. I'll go with the Giants because, well, that division's been not good for a couple of years, right? And outside of Dak Prescott, no one has a quarterback. You know, we don't know if Jalen Hurts is the quarterback of Philadelphia. Heinicke, he's having a nice season. I don't think Washington views him as their franchise quarterback. So there's room to roam there. Of course, the Giants don't have a quarterback either. You know, and they have other issues. And I think they got a house clean this year. I think Gettleman's gone. I think Judge may be gone. I think Daniel Jones could be gone. So they're starting from scratch. But maybe that's a good thing. So if you put me on the spot, I'll go Giants because the division is so-so. And our Cowboys always play down to expectations.
They do always play down. You know what, though? I'm going the Jets. I always give Brett and Kofsky a hard time. I'm going the Jets. And this is why. If I squint real close, I see more of an NFL quarterback in Zach Wilson than I do in Daniel Jones. And also, I think Woody Johnson is a bad owner. I think John Mara and Woody Johnson are basically two of the five worst owners in football. I think they're both pretty bad. But I think marginally Johnson's better. There we go. We're going into break, everyone. See you back at the top of hour two.
Sports happens every day, and we give you expert insights and information on gaming, odds, and more.
Every day.
You see a trend?
This.